Hello and welcome to the Tiwoo podcast. This is audio log number 19 and it is October 15th, 2022. I can't believe it's 2022. I'm not used to saying that. So I thought I would use this audio log to kind of talk about a recent Reddit post that I found very disturbing and I wanted to share. Was something that came up in the Ask Reddit, and after I read it, I was like, oh, this is freaky. So I'm gonna read it, and I'm gonna give credit to the writer whose username is Sweet Mercy. This story is like from 10 years ago. So I'm gonna read it and then kind of share, just because I don't want to like summarize it in the wrong way, because oftentimes I do that and it really defeats the purpose. So the post is called Dr. Ramsey, and this is how it starts. A week or so before my 10th birthday, I walked to the corner store with a $5 bill and picked up a jar of ragu for my mom. On my way home, a man I'd never seen before fell in step with me and began talking. "Hi," he said cheerfully. "My name is Dr. Ramsey. I'm a pediatrician. Do you know what a pediatrician is?" I walked along silently, not replying, and fervently hoping he would take that as a sign he should leave me alone. Subtleties were not his strong suit, though, because he kept right on chattering. "Are your parents looking for a pediatrician for you? Of course, you're almost a big girl now. You'll be needing another kind of doctor soon, won't you? That's okay, though. They can still bring you to me until then. What's your name? You have beautiful hair. I was just on my way to get some suckers for the candy jar in my office. Do you like suckers?" Thankfully, we were nearing my house, so I ran forward, up the back steps, and into the kitchen door. I didn't know it then, but that was the beginning of a very long, very scary ordeal. It didn't take long after that for Dr. Ramsey to begin showing up. At first, it seemed benign enough, at least to a kid. He would drive by nearly every day, smiling and waving. I told my mom, who said maybe it was on his way home from work, but then the phone calls began. My dad called me into the living room and sat me down. He asked me about the day Dr. Ramsey followed me home and if I talked to him. He said I wasn't in trouble, but that I needed to tell him the truth. I told him no, and he asked if I was sure. Could I be forgetting something? I told him no again, and he frowned. Then asked, "Then how does he know your name?" I didn't know. It turns out that was not all he knew. He knew my sister's name as well. Pretty soon, neither my sister and I were allowed to answer the phone. He called several times a day. At first, neither of us knew what he was saying. Then one night, one of my brothers told us that he was telling my parents that he was going to hurt me and later my sister. Things got complicated after that. My dad had called the police, but as this was before there were any stalking laws, there was not a lot they could do. They told my parents to call back if he tried anything. My dad then called a friend of his from back in the day who happened to be a cop. For the next month, my dad's friend escorted me to and from the school. Suddenly, life as I knew it came to a screeching halt. I couldn't walk to school alone. I couldn't play outside. I couldn't walk to Super America, which is kind of like 7-Eleven. When access to me was completely denied, things escalated. It was around this time he began threatening my sister as well. Then one afternoon, my sister, two of my brothers, and my mom and I were in the kitchen. One of my brothers saw a glimpse of someone in the garage. They'd seen him, too. Dr. Ramsey came bolting out of the garage, my brothers chasing after him. They ran all the way to Cherokee Park, where he lost them in the trees. My parents called the police again, but nothing came out of it. The only information they had was a description and a name that was almost certainly fake. A couple of weeks later, we woke up to find our dog hanging from the side porch. She was a gorgeous saddleback German Shepherd, born the same day I was. We were all devastated. The cops said there was no evidence it was him and ruled it an accident, but none of us believed that. His phone calls became more informative in the meantime. He would talk about who was home and who wasn't. If my brother would say my dad was home, he would tell him who was really in the house. He also would talk about the house itself, about the window in the kitchen he could easily open with a knife from the outside, even when it was locked, and about the French doors that connected the living room to the side porch and how the lock could be finagled from the outside if you jiggled it just right. That night, my dad put in some carpenter nails at the bottom of the French doors until he could get a new lock ordered. My parents had to go to a company event for my dad's work. My older brothers were at St. West's roller skating rink. My sister was on the phone with her best friend, and my little brother was on the floor asleep. I was watching Devo on the midnight special with Wolfman Jack. It was late. Suddenly, the top of the French door swung inward, and in the few milliseconds before the nails in the bottom caused them to snap back, I could see his silhouette. My sister whipped the phone at the television and ran up the stairs, and halfway up, we realized our little brother was still asleep on the living room floor. As quietly as we could, we slipped back down the stairs to get him. We all went into our bedroom and didn't turn on the light. This way, we could see outside. We watched out the window for a while, and when we didn't find him, we crept down the hall to our brother's room to look. We looked down and could see someone standing at the back door. He knocked loudly. "What do you want?" my sister asked out the window. He stepped back and said, "Is this the Mercy residence? I have a pizza for delivery. Can you come to the door?" She scoffed at him, declaring she was not stupid. She could see he didn't have a pizza and she was calling the cops. He left. A short while later, my brothers returned home. We told them what happened and they walked around the yard watching for him. They came back in and things settled down. By now, we'd pretty much given up calling the cops because it never helped. So we just went back in, each of us carrying a knife from the kitchen just in case. Eventually, one of my brothers went into the kitchen to get a bowl of cereal as a snack. You know that sensation you get when you just feel someone watching you? Yeah, he had that in spades. He kept looking around the kitchen, through the doorway into the dining room, at the windows. He didn't see anything, but he could still feel eyes on him. So he went closer to the door to try to see better. The kitchen lights were reflecting on the windows of the door. The door had three rows of windows, so he still couldn't see through them. He stepped closer, then closer again, until he was right up to the door, then cupped his hands on either side of his head so he could see. There, on the other side of the window pane, was Dr. Ramsey, smiling back at him. He turned to yell for my older brothers, but when he looked back again, he was gone. They went out again to look for him, but didn't see him. The next night, we were at the table playing Crazy Eights, and my brother was restless. My sister asked him what's wrong, and he said he always felt like any minute now there would be a boom, boom, boom on the door or window. Almost immediately after he finished his sentence, boom, boom, boom on the window right behind him. In the chaos, the two eldest ran out, but he was already gone. A couple weeks later, I was at school, and we were outside on the playground during recess. I was swinging upside down when I saw the now familiar blue Ford Galaxy cruising by, moving slowly. There he was, smiling and waving. He called my name and I ran to the teacher and told her. The school had been told all about him and she took me inside right away and called my mom. That same day, my mom had gotten a call from the school office asking to verify that my dad was picking me up, as he'd called to say he was on his way. He wasn't. Not long after that, I woke up one night thirsty. I went down to the kitchen for a drink, and there, sitting alone in the dark, was my dad. On the table, a gun. He was tired of the police waiting until Dr. Ramsey tried something. He was tired of his children being terrorized. He was tired of being afraid every time he left for work that something would happen to us while he was gone. I sat with him for a time, watching, before he sent me back to bed. These events and many more took place over a period of around 18 months. Then suddenly as it began, it was over. He had vanished from our lives. The phone calls, the drive-bys with the creepy waves, everything. For a long time, during and after the Ramsey days, I would have recurring nightmares in which I would wake up to find him standing over me as I slept. It took a long time before I felt like a kid again. I found out years later that when he was calling, Dr. Ramsey would tell my parents that he was going to rape and kill me, and later, my sister, and that there was nothing they could do about it. I don't know what happened to him when he disappeared. I don't know if he was in a car wreck, locked in prison, in a coma, but sometimes I wonder if the wait ended for my dad when he was sitting in the darkened kitchen one night. I don't know, and I'm not sure I want to. So that was, that's where the post ends. So basically, if you didn't get it, the last part means like if the dad ended up hurting Dr. Ramsey in order to stop the harassment from continuing, and that she didn't want to find out what he had to do in order to make it stop. So honestly, that story was really, when I first read it, I didn't know what to expect. And it actually, it does sound kind of like it could be fake as well. I don't know. I'm assuming it's not, because this subreddit's for true stories, but you know, you never know. It could be a fake. Either way, it is quite disturbing to me when I first read it. Whether or not it's true or it's a fake one, doesn't matter. It really hit close to home because when I was young, my dad would always kind of, I guess, scare me. You know, obviously don't talk to strangers and things like that. They could hurt you and stuff, and don't like go out late at night and stuff, especially like by myself. And so this just kind of reminded me of that, being so young and like growing up and kind of being warned of people like this, these Dr. Ramseys and stuff like that, and what they could do to you. My dad would always say like, oh, they'd kidnap you and like rape you and kill you or something. And obviously not in that way, but like they'd hurt you basically. Like, so it was just, that was when I was young, and that was a warning. And really, like, when I was young, I'd be like scared, obviously. But this story just kind of brought that back as how it felt when you're young and like being like, okay, can't be out alone and like what could happen. And after having a kid and having a daughter, this even is, it's even more disturbing because it's kind of like what could happen to my daughter as well. It's just really unfortunate that this is the kind of stuff, as a child and as a girl, you kind of have to keep it, you know, be aware of. Like, you shouldn't have to, but like ultimately it's kind of like if you don't say anything to your kids, and they might end up with a Dr. Ramsey, right? So ultimately, like, I know my dad was just, you know, trying to do good by me, but oftentimes I think like it was really scary growing up thinking that, being so scared. It kind of takes away your childhood a bit because you're so scared. But later on, like, you know, with all these true crime stories coming out and things like, and people getting like kidnapped, even like grown adults, like women, right? And then they're getting kidnapped and, you know, stuff happens to them. And then, so as a kid, you're like, holy crap. When I think back at it, I'm like, I guess it was good. My dad kind of warned me of these things. And I think probably when my daughter grows up a little bit older, and obviously, like, you know, when she's old enough to be coherent, like, to walking home alone or things like that. Obviously, I wouldn't want them to walk home alone, but they would need to know the reasons why, right? And like, how do you warn your kids of the dangers of the real world without scaring them to death and without taking away their innocence, you know? It's really hard. And I guess my just, like my dad just kind of gave it to us plain, like, you know, especially to me, I'm his only daughter, of what could happen. And I don't know if I would do it the same with my daughter, but it honestly, reading this makes me kind of question, like, how am I going to protect my kid from those predators, you know? It's really scary. And it's actually... I got my partner to read this, and it didn't really spook him as much. I don't know if it's because he's a guy or he just generally doesn't get too, he's not paranoid like me. And I don't know if my paranoia is also as a result of my dad kind of spooking me when I was young, or if it's just something that I, you know, inherited from him, from his genes, you know. I thought I'd just share this little story, just because some of it is just like so creepy, and you're like, wow, I can just totally picture like a Dr. Ramsey and just like what that would feel like. It kind of reminds me of that movie called Scream, that like, you know, the phone call is coming from within the house or something like that. It just gave me those vibes. And I would hate for this ever to happen to my daughter and to me. And obviously, this is like a nightmare. I do believe in ghosts to a certain extent. And so they do give me like goosebumps and stuff like that. But this type of story, which is more like realistic and like it could happen, chances are kind of low, but it could happen. It has a higher chance of happening than like, for example, ghosts. So this really gets me, like, this spooks me to a degree that I'm like, holy crap. And it just brings back this childhood fear that I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to, you know, go down that road. But and it's just really unfortunate that growing up, I had to be told those things and live with that fear. And I think the person who wrote this also relates to that, because it's like for that period of time that Dr. Ramsey would come and harass them, it's like she was so scared she could barely live. She couldn't be a kid anymore. And that's the same for when my dad would kind of warn me. It's kind of like, and when I'm walking home, right, you're just so scared. You're like, holy crap, you can't really be innocent and stuff when you're at that point. You're kind of like, oh, I had to protect myself. I had, like, you know, whatever it may be. It just takes away your innocence, I guess, because you're just scared. I don't know if this is true. My partner did question kind of like, how is it that this guy can outrun like two teenage boys at like a park? Like, it's highly unlikely. So he thought that was very strange, which I would say, yeah, I guess. But I mean, it could happen. And then why it suddenly stopped, I was like thinking, I guess maybe he found another victim, which is also scary. Either he found another victim or like the dad actually did something to the guy, which I'm actually pretty surprised they didn't, because he literally broke into their house, or, you know, tried to break into their house. I would like to think another thing that sticks out a lot is this probably happened in the 80s or something. Mind you, this post was like from 10 years ago. So like 2012, basically. And this probably happened when this person was like this, they said like when they're 10. And I'm guessing this probably around the like 80s, 90s, something like that, when I guess police forces were not well informed of like, they didn't have as much measures to kind of counteract a lot of the sexual predators that we have, like the measures we have now, like dealing with pedophiles and things like that. So I would hope that in this day and age, this kind of stuff wouldn't happen. It's like, how do you like call the cops and they absolutely do nothing of a guy terrorizing your entire family? Like, that to me is just, wow, how is that even possible? Like, I get it, they didn't have as many laws or like whatever, but still, like, as a citizen, you're like, my family is literally fearing for their life from this guy who just tries to harass us all the time by, you know, phone calls or like saying things about our house and like literally breaking in or trying to break in and going on our property, and the police literally can't do anything. They won't do anything. I actually honestly think that's like the biggest call out that this story might be fake, because I'm like, that is like messed up. And I'm surprised that that guy, the dad, like, didn't just bust out his guns and just let his kids have a, like his son have a gun in case something happened and they could just like shoot him or something. Like, I'm a bit surprised by that, and how that Dr. Ramsey was able to literally harass them on their own private property. Strange that police wouldn't step in, be like, the guy is trespassing on private property. But, and then I'm like, okay, maybe the story is fake. But even like now as an adult, and I live in my own home and stuff like that, I'm really scared when like just to think about someone breaking in, let alone a man like harassing me and my family, like harassing my daughter and saying he's gonna do stuff. Like, I don't understand how the police wouldn't be like, that is threat. That is a threat. And not only a threat to like, just, it's a threat to a child. Like, that is so messed up that, like, I get it. It's like, it's, you know, the society has changed so much regarding these types of offenses. But at the same time, it's like, why wouldn't police step in at that point? Like, and like in the 80s, like, this is filled with like criminal activity that it's kind of like, what? Anyways, I was trying to make myself feel better to say that if this was to happen in this day and age, that the police would step in and do something at an earlier point, as opposed to literally leaving this family to fend for themselves. So hopefully that's true. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm pretty spooked by it, and I hoped you guys enjoyed it. And hopefully you're not as spooked as I am. Yeah, but it's a bit unfortunate that as a woman, I have to be kind of aware of these, I guess, occurrences that have happened or could happen. And it is pretty scary. It's extra scary for me because this one just, it sounds like they were just being targeted because they're girls, which sucks. But yeah, anyways, I hope you guys enjoy it, the story. Thanks for tuning in. That's it for me today. I don't want to go on too long. And yeah, I'm wishing everyone a good evening, good night, or good morning. Thank you.